Radio Prague News.
The police have accused the country's chief hygiene officer, Michal Vít, of abuse of public office and manipulation of contract procurement. The Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs plans to cut welfare benefits by 3 billion crowns. And an outgoing constitutional court judge has criticised government reforms as socially insensitive and insane. The police have accused the country's chief hygiene officer, Michal Vít, of abuse of public office and breach of trust over alleged manipulation of contract procurement for the Interior Ministry. According to the police, Vít manipulated a tender for consultancy services for the ministry. He allegedly placed the procurement with the husband of his subordinate at the health ministry, Vladan Brož from Transparency International, who filed a criminal complaint against Vít, said the tender documents were manipulated. Michal Vít has rejected the accusations. If his guilt is proven, he could face up to 10 years in prison. Welfare benefits will be 3 billion crowns lower than originally planned due to budget cuts being considered by the coalition government. Labour Minister Jaromír Drábek told journalists on Tuesday that the 3 billion could be saved by strict checks on whether all necessary conditions for benefits were being met and by preventing unemployment benefits from being misused. With the ministry looking to cut a total 3.8 billion crowns from its budget this year, Mr. Drábek also said he plans to lower operational costs and money earmarked for IT. The government is planning further austerity measures in order to adhere to the planned state budget deficit amid a worsening economic forecast. Outgoing deputy chair of the Constitutional Court, Eliška Vagnerová, has harshly criticised government reforms as being insane and socially insensitive. In an interview for the Daily Pravo, Judge Vagnerová went on to say that she did not want to live in such a country. Prime Minister Petr Nečas responded to the comments severely, saying the judge's last day on March 21st should be a holiday for Czech democracy, adding that the Czech Constitutional Court is not meant to be another chamber of parliament. The Constitutional Court is currently adjudicating on some of the government reform laws at the behest of the opposition Social Democratic Party. The detective agency ABL, which has been linked to the troubled Public Affairs Party, has changed its name to Mark II Corporation. The move comes a few days after the company featured prominently in the corruption trial of its founder, Public Affairs leader Vít Bárta. Mr. Bárta sold the company to his brother Matěj upon the party's election to parliament in 2010. The website Lidovky.cz reports that Matěj Bárta has stepped down, informing employees that he will head the company's supervisory board. In addition to drawing negative attention for numerous personnel connections with the Junior Coalition Party, ABL also came under fire last year for conducting surveillance of certain Prague politicians. Now turning briefly to the weather, currently cloudy conditions are expected to gradually improve over the coming days, with daytime highs in the low teens Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, two ministries clash over how best to support the country's exporters. Have Czech seniors made friends with social networks? And a selection of the biggest silver treasure ever unearthed in the country goes on display at the Prague City Museum. And of course, we'll end our half-hour programme from Prague with a Czech lesson as usual. So please do stay with us. Two Czech ministers have clashed over how the government should support the country's exports. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, whose office has put a lot of effort into promoting Czech businesses abroad, dismissed a new export strategy designed by the Industry and Trade Ministry. In spite of the squabbles, however, the government's support for exporters is bearing fruit. Czech exports have reached record levels and are a major driving force behind the Czech economic recovery. Jan Richter has the story.
Czech firms last year exported goods worth nearly 3 trillion crowns, or over 160 billion US dollars, which is the highest figure in history. However, the exports are mostly driven by large companies, as the overall number of exporters is decreasing. The vast majority of Czech exports, up to 83%, is destined for the EU market, which is likewise seen as a potential liability. Several Czech CEOs have also criticized the government for the lack of an effective strategy that would diversify the country's exports. In response, Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg told reporters on Monday that his office had put a new strategy in place as soon as he took up his post 2 years ago.
In this new model, which has been implemented in the last 2 years, we put much more emphasis on the economy. Some 100 ambassadors and general consuls, as well as 160 honorary consuls, pursue pro-export policies. It's practically everyone, with some exceptions, such as our embassies in the Vatican and in North Korea. So there are some 400 people within the Ministry of Foreign Affairs working on this.
The foreign ministry now also puts more emphasis on the economy at its diplomatic academy, so that its graduates are better equipped for their new tasks. For its part, the Czech Industry and Trade Ministry has come up with its own pro-export strategy. It highlights 12 countries, including Brazil, China, India, Iraq, and the United States, as new priority destinations. The ministry plans to encourage more mid- and small-sized businesses to export their products and to increase the number of Czech trade missions. However, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg dismissed some of the details included in the rival strategy. For example, he refused the idea that staff of trade missions should be given diplomatic passports.
We cannot hand out diplomatic passports according to our momentary wishes and moods. That's just not possible. After all, what purpose would it serve? I think that for the most part, this is an issue of conceit.
The squabble could also be an issue of latent tension between the two rival right-wing coalition parties, with Mr. Schwarzenberg, the head of the Topo 9 group, controlling the foreign ministry, and Civic Democrats in charge of its pro-export rival. The Czech government will discuss the new strategy designed by the Industry and Trade Ministry at its session next week. Meanwhile, Czech exporters hope that common sense will prevail and cabinet members will eventually drop their petty disputes in favor of a comprehensive pro-export strategy that will really work.
Jan Richter with that report. Moving on now, for the majority of younger people today, life without social media is unimaginable. Posting pictures and videos, sharing the latest news and keeping on top of events. Many aspects of daily life take place on sites like Facebook or Twitter. But do senior citizens use this new technology? And if so, for what? Sarah Borufka went along to a social media course at Prague's Elpida Center for the Elderly to find out.
Four eager participants have come to Martin Štěhlík's class on Facebook and social media on a Tuesday afternoon at the Senior Citizen Center Elpida in Prague's Krč neighborhood. All participants have taken classes here before and are well acquainted with using computers and the internet. Today, however, they want to learn about a social network they are not familiar with, Facebook. Karel Koška, aged 71, says he has heard a lot about it and is curious.
I want to learn more about it. I have heard that you can send pictures on it and exchange information of all kinds. And I also want to become more familiar with it because I have heard in the news that Facebook can be dangerous, that you can get viruses on your computer, or that people can hack your account. So that is one reason I'm curious. And then, of course, a lot of events in the social sphere are presented on Facebook, and sometimes I see TV reports about that. So that is why I want to learn more about it.
tak kdybych tam napsal, teď jsem na kurzu a jsem z toho jelen.
Ano, tak to tak pojďme teď napsat.
While the user interface of Facebook is confusing to Karel Koška and his former co-worker Jiří Kotlík, who has similar reasons for coming today, the social network can also open up new ways of interaction for senior citizens, especially if they miss being in contact with many people. Věra Firitová is hoping to make some new friends that way.
Ten Facebook mě láká právě pro tu komunikaci.
Facebook is really interesting to me because it seems that you can communicate with a lot of people that way. Unfortunately, since I've retired, I don't have a lot of people in my life, and I miss communicating with lots of friends and acquaintances. I used to work in a shop and had a lot of people around me every day. I miss that. So I hope that this will help me meet new people.
Nový lidi a ráda bych se tím posunula zase někam dál.
Teacher Martin Stehlík, who has been working with Elpida for several years, says the most common reason for senior citizens to join Facebook is the fact that their children and grandchildren are on it.
The main reason is to keep in touch with relatives, grandchildren, children, being able to look at pictures they post, keeping in touch every day, leaving comments, that sort of thing. So I believe that they mostly use it because social media make it easier for them to communicate.
By the end of the class, the four senior citizens no longer feel overwhelmed by Facebook, and the group has quickly warmed up to each other. They may even organize a night in a local pub together soon. By creating a Facebook event, of course.
Sarah Borůvka with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a fresh edition of Czech history. Prague City Museum recently put on display a selection of the biggest silver treasure ever found in the country. Visitors are able to admire just a fraction of the vast depot of nearly half a ton of silver jewellery, tableware, goblets, coins, as well as raw silver, which was hidden in a Prague building sometime after the end of World War II. The museum is now trying to find out who hid such a huge treasure, only discovered by accident roughly 3 years ago. Jan Richter went to see the exhibition and find out more.
Displayed in a glass showcase, samples of the now famous silver treasure are a major attraction in Prague City Museum's central building. But the dozens of silver spoons, coins, bracelets, goblets, buckles and other objects say little about the actual size of the find, discovered during the renovation of an apartment building in the Prague district of Smíchov some 3 years ago. Martina Lemanová is a curator at the City Museum in charge of the silver treasure.
It's a very huge silver treasure. It contains more than 21,000 objects, and it's 493 kilograms of silver and other materials, like a silver nickel alloys and some others. And it's really one of the biggest, or even the biggest silver treasure that has been found in the whole world.
The riches were found in November 2008 in an ordinary apartment building in the district of Smíchov when three Ukrainian workers who had been hired to do the job discovered a secret room under the stairs full of dusty metal objects. They first called TV reporters to the site, apparently unaware of just what they had come across.
On the beginning, they supposed that these objects are made from aluminium. They didn't recognize that it's silver, and they didn't know what to do with this. So they called the TV Nova, and the journalist from TV Nova, they recommend them to contact also the Czech police. And the Czech police arrived, they discovered that it's really silver, and the Czech police started to find the owner.
However, the police were unsuccessful, and as no one claimed ownership rights to the treasure, it was passed on to the city of Prague. Curator Martina Lemanová explains what exactly was found.
The first group is a group of objects which were collected by the owner of this treasure. It's mostly some bowls and these objects, and we can find there a lot of marks of another producers. It's about one third of this treasure. There is the second group. These are some materials, raw silver or some plates which were used for the producing of some other types of the silverware. And the third part is the silverware itself.
2 years after the discovery, the police closed the case without having established the treasure's owner or their heirs. However, some of the objects branded with the respective silversmith hallmark provide a clue for the curators to determine who the owner of the mysterious treasure might have been.
On these objects we can find the hallmark VA, and we think that it should be the name or the monogram of the producer, and maybe the producer was Alois Vokurka. It is the name of the silver producer from the first half of 20th century who lived in Prague and who were very active. We know that he studied the School of Arts in Prague. And we know also something about his production on the beginning of 20s. But this silver treasure was made in 40s, in the time between the end of the Second World War and the beginning of the communist era in Czechoslovakia. So we are really not sure in this time that Alois Vokurka was the creator of this treasure, or if it was someone else.
Also, around one-third of the 21,000 or so objects are coins dated between mid-19th century and the 1940s. But when it comes to determining the time when the treasure was actually hidden, the researchers have a better hint.
We know that the silver treasure was hidden in the year 1947 or 1948. We know this because among the things were also newspapers, and they were dated 1947. And maybe someone was afraid of the communists, had some idea that it will be confiscated. It was just put among the things. It wasn't something that it was something to covering the objects. No, no. Maybe someone wanted to note that it was hidden in this year.
The current value of the treasure was estimated at 6 million crowns, or more than $320,000. The city hall duly paid the finders their fee of 10% of the value. The question of how much the treasure was worth in the post-war years is one that the researchers will be looking into.
We will do really big research. First, I would like to research in the city archive to find in some lists of the inhabitants of Prague, if I find who lived in the house, if he wasn't or was connected, he or she was connected with some producer of silver. We know that in this part of Prague, in Smíchov and Košíře, were quite a lot of producers of metal. Maybe some of them was focused on silver and had some silversmith manufactory or workshop.
Among all the questions, one issue seems to be clear. The owner of this huge treasure was clearly concerned about the rising power of the Communist Party, which took power soon after the unknown silversmith hid his precious possessions under the stairs of the Prague building. He possibly concealed only part of his property, which would explain why the treasure contains exclusively objects made of silver and related alloys.
I think that it's just only because he was so specialized, or maybe if he wasn't specialized to produce silver, if he had some gold, if he had some another material, so maybe if he left the Czechoslovakia at that time, maybe this material he took with him. And just only silver he let to be in Prague and wait for him.
Curator Martina Lemanová from Prague City Museum says the Smíchov treasure is so significant because of its size rather than thanks to the artistic quality of the actual objects.
It's a very nice example of the production of silver for a little bit conservative people. We can see they're very nice products, mostly for women, and these are very nice, but these products are not so progressive as we maybe know from let's say Vienna. It was in the first half of the 20th century really center of a very progressive production of the silverware, and the Central Europe was following the line which was Wiener Werkstätte showing. And this is something another. It really shows more conservative production. We can also connect it some products with the production of the 19th century. They are nice. The technique is really very fine, but the shapes are, as I said, more conservative.
In the 2 years since the treasure was found, no one has raised any ownership claims. Martina Lemanová will now be spending a lot of time in the archives searching for the mysterious silversmith. And if she is successful, the museum is ready to negotiate with the potential heirs, although it is not clear whether the museum would just give it to them.
If we find them, we will speak with them. If someone will say, okay, I'm some follower of this family and will want to have this, I don't know if someone is still alive. But there are quite a lot of examples for this handling with the objects in the state property. For example, in Austria, if you visit some exhibition, you can still find behind some pictures or some objects sign, and it's written there, this used to be Jewish property. We don't know the owner today, but if you have some contact, give it to us. And if someone appear and say that he has something to do with this silver treasure, the City of Prague Museum will certainly talk to him.
The sample of the silver treasure can be seen in Prague City Museum's main building at Florence. Once the complete set is restored and the research finished, the museum is planning to stage a major exhibition of the complete find, which should open in some 2 years' time.
That edition of Czech History was prepared and presented by Jan Richter. And we wind up today's Half Hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series ABC of Czech, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
It's time again to stroll around the Czech farm. Today we take a peek in the goat pen. There we find a goat,
koza,
which also means a she-goat, nanny goat, her mate,
kozel,
he-goat, billy goat, and the kids,
kůzlata.
While the female goat,
koza,
is a synonym for girlish silliness in Czech, the male goat,
kozel,
symbolizes lechery, as in the expression,
starý kozel,
an old lecher, an old goat. The goat is said to be picky when it comes to food. That's why Czechs say,
je mlsný jako koza.
He's as choosy as a goat. Ordinary grass is not tasty enough, but what grows on the vegetable patch might be more interesting. I'm sure all goats would be over the moon if the following idiom were to come true.
Udělat kozla zahradníkem.
To make the billy goat a gardener. I believe you can imagine the consequences. When somebody is referred to as
kozel zahradníkem,
it means he's not the best of managers. And although goats would undoubtedly enjoy their idea of gardening, they are thought to have little knowledge of it, as the following idiom suggests.
Rozumí tomu jako koza petrželi.
He or she understands it as a goat understands parsley. They do not understand it at all. When goats have been eating what they shouldn't have been, they get bloated. And one way to help them is to make them keep moving. Hence the expression
honit někoho jako nadmutou kozu.
Rush somebody like a bloated goat. It means never to give a person a moment of peace, to order them around. We've covered the eating habits of goats, but goats themselves can fall prey to wolves, for example. Here is one idiom about wolves and goats.
Chtít, aby se vlk nažral a koza zůstala celá.
To want the wolf to eat its food and the goat to remain whole. It means to please both sides in a difficult situation. Something similar to having your cake and eating it at the same time. But you can make a mistake and pick the wrong solution.
Trefit kozla.
To hit the billy goat. The metaphor probably refers to hunting, where instead of shooting the deer, for example, you miss and hit your own billy goat. And finally, one idiom where the goat carries no symbolic meaning, but was chosen purely for the purpose of rhyming.
Já o koze, ty o voze.
I'm talking about the goat, and you are talking about the wagon. I'm talking A, and you're talking B. It is a misunderstanding. So that's all for today, I'm afraid, but you can join us next time for another edition of the ABC of Czech. Until then, it's goodbye.
Naschledanou.
My thanks to Pavla Horáková for that Czech lesson, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. And I'd also like to bring to your attention the fact that Radio Prague has launched a brand new monthly quiz. You'll find the details on our webpage. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.